A toddler pushes away a plate of broccoli with the certainty of a judge delivering a verdict. "I hate it," she announces, though she's never tasted it. We nod knowingly. She's a picky eater. It's just how she is. But what if everything we believe about why we eat what we eat is wrong? What if that child's rejection has nothing to do with her personality, her genes, or some mystical inner food compass, and everything to do with what she's learned before she could even speak? Our relationship with food feels deeply personal, almost sacred. We cling to the idea that our tastes reveal something essential about who we are. Yet the uncomfortable truth is this: the foods you love, the ones you hate, even the ones you crave at midnight, nearly all of it was taught to you, and if it was learned, it can be unlearned. In 1926, Dr. Clara Davis let 15 babies choose freely from 34 foods. Every child thrived, and media celebrated this as proof humans instinctively know what to eat. But the headlines missed a crucial detail. Davis curated those foods. Every option, beef, fish, bone marrow, fruits, vegetables, was wholesome and unprocessed. No cookies, candy, or chicken nuggets. The children didn't possess magical nutritional radar. They simply couldn't choose badly because nothing bad was available. Twin studies demolished the genetic excuse. While body weight shows strong hereditary patterns, food preferences barely registered genetic influence, only about 20%. Korean adoptees raised in French families develop French palates, not Korean ones. Neuroscience reveals why. Researcher Kent Berridge discovered that wanting and liking food activate completely different brain pathways. Dopamine drives wanting, not enjoyment. This explains why we crave foods that don't satisfy us, reaching for chips while knowing they won't deliver the pleasure we're seeking. Between 4 and 7 months, babies accept new flavors, bitter greens, sour fruits, pungent vegetables, with unusual openness. Nature designed this window to prepare them for whatever foods their environment offers. Miss it, and everything becomes harder. Most parents unknowingly squander this opportunity by starting with sweet potatoes and carrots, reinforcing the sweetness preference that later makes vegetables feel like punishment. By the time we introduce bitter greens, neophobia, an evolutionary safety mechanism peaking between ages 2 and 6, has kicked in. Our beliefs about food become self-fulfilling prophecies. Australian researchers found parents of healthy eaters believed taste could be educated through exposure, while parents of picky eaters believed preferences were fixed. Those who believed taste was unchangeable surrendered to limited palates. Even for children who missed the critical window, hope remains. Dr. Lucy Cook's Tiny Tastes program has children try pea-sized portions of moderately disliked vegetables at neutral times, with no mealtime pressure. After 10 to 14 days of pressure-free exposures, acceptance rates soar. The key isn't forcing or bribing. It's making the experience safe enough that curiosity overrides fear. Before birth, you were already learning what to eat. By 15 weeks in utero, your taste buds sampled everything your mother consumed. French scientists found that babies whose mothers ate anise during pregnancy turned toward its smell after birth, showing recognition and pleasure. This learning continues through breast milk or formula. Babies fed hydrolysate formula, sour and hay-like to adults, not only accept it but prefer it over sweeter options. Years later, these children show greater preference for sour tastes. Any flavor becomes appealing when consistently paired with nourishment and comfort. Professor Gordon Shepherd's neurogastronomy research reveals our brains create unique flavor maps. Strawberries and sugar light up similar regions, while bananas and cheddar claim their own territories. These neural patterns generate images of desire, flavor memories that pull us back repeatedly. A Turkish study tracking nearly 700 people from age 2 to adulthood found remarkable continuity. Picky eaters remained picky. Vegetable avoiders continued avoiding them decades later. Early food experiences don't just influence us, they become us. Walk down any supermarket aisle designated for children, and you'll find a nutritional wasteland dressed in cartoon characters. Cereals containing over 50% sugar. snacks engineered to be twistable and dunkable, each teaching the same lesson: eating should be entertainment and nutrition is negotiable. This wasn't always the case. For most of human history, children ate smaller portions of family meals. Modern kid food represents total capitulation to children's preferences. Market research revealed children craved products exclusively for them. Bright colors, smooth textures, foods they didn't share with adults. The food industry obliged. The tragedy is that many adults never outgrow this arrested development. Research shows 8-year-olds' food preferences closely mirror their mother's, both groups favoring popcorn, French fries, chocolate chip cookies, and pizza. Rather than children maturing toward adult tastes, adults have regressed to childhood palates. In many non-Western cultures, this category doesn't exist. Indian children transition directly from weaning foods to family meals. They never develop separate taste preferences because they're never taught their food should be different. Watch parents feed their children, and you're witnessing the transmission of attitudes about food, control, and self-trust that echo through generations. Research identifies 4 distinct feeding styles with predictable outcomes. Uninvolved parents produce the worst results. Children never learn healthy self-regulation. Authoritarian parents, high demands, low warmth, surprisingly correlate with higher child weight despite rigid control. Their children learn to ignore internal hunger cues and eat based on external commands. Indulgent parents strongly associate with obesity risk, as children never develop capacity to tolerate discomfort or delayed gratification. Authoritative parents, combining high warmth with appropriate demands, produce the healthiest outcomes. Their children eat more fruits and vegetables and are less likely to become emotional eaters. These parents notice when their child is genuinely hungry versus bored or upset, offer healthy options without forcing consumption, and model adventurous eating while trusting internal signals. Gender adds another layer. Brothers are encouraged to eat more, while sisters face pressure to eat less. Parents reduce control as children age, except when concerned about a daughter's weight, when control intensifies. These patterns become the eating disorders and body image struggles of adulthood. Japan proves food cultures can transform dramatically. Tokyo now has more Michelin-starred restaurants than Paris or New York, with remarkably low obesity rates, yet Japanese cuisine had an inferior reputation until the 20th century. This shift happened through deliberate government intervention and openness to new influences. If an entire nation can revolutionize its relationship with food within 2 generations, individuals certainly can too. The secret isn't willpower, it's removing barriers. Reducing salt intake for 8 to 12 weeks significantly decreases pleasure in very salty foods. 5 exposures to a new flavor can retrain your palate. Chili peppers prove this. Mexicans who eat chili 3 times daily feel the burn just as intensely as Americans who rarely touch it. They've simply learned to enjoy the sensation. Finland's Sapere program shows how children's attitudes transform through sensory education rather than nutrition lectures. Successful dietary change requires making healthy food and pleasurable food one and the same. People who maintain weight loss eat breakfast daily, maintain consistent moderate diets, and crucially, enjoy their food more than those who regain weight. Any lesson learned can be unlearned through patience, exposure, and belief in our capacity for change.